بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خيرة البشر سيدنا مولانا محمد بن عبد الله المبعوث بالحق رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين تابعين له بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. My brothers in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In a continuation with our tafsir studies, the thematic tafsir today is the, I guess, third week, Fazli of the third week, and we have been studying the biography of Ibrahim alayhi salam in the Holy Quran thematically. We by now understand what is meant by thematic tafsir, which is going through the different Quranic verses that are talking about a specific theme, regardless of where they come in the Quran, which surah, whether they are revealed in Mecca or they are revealed in Medina. And what we are trying to see is to see the complete unit of the story as one individual whole story. Last week, we were studying in Surah, I think Surah Ali Imran. We got into Surah Nisa, verse 163. إِنَّا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ كَمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى نُوحٍ والنبيين من بعده وأوحينا إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط وعيسى وأيوب ويونس وهارون وسليمان وآتينا داود زبورا. Again, that is the last verse that we have studied last week. Yes? If we are following. Yes. So today, inshallah, we are going to study from Surah Al-An'am. The first verse in Surah Al-An'am that spoke about Ibrahim alayhi salam is the verse 74. Allah said, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَعْدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ آزَرَ أَتَتَّخِذُ أَصْنَامًا آلِهَةً إِنِّي أَرَاكَ وَقَوْمَكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. I talked a little bit about this verse when we were talking about some verses in Ali Imran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Ibrahim, I mean in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when Allah was talking about how the Nimrud, the king of Babel, was arguing with Ibrahim alayhi salam. ألم تر إلى الذي حاج إبراهيم في ربه أن آتاه الله الملك؟ قال إبراهيم ربي الذي يحيي ويميت. قال أنا أحيي وأميت. قال إبراهيم فإن الله يأتي بالشمس من المشرق فأت بها من المغرب فبلغ الذي كفر والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين. When he argued with Ibrahim alayhi salam about the existence of God, about the nature of God, about his possibility of assuming the nature of God and acting like one. And I have mentioned that that was actually the end of the story. The beginning of the story was in Surah Al-An'am. I have mentioned that the reason why the beginning of the story was in Surah Al-An'am was because in Surah Al-An'am, Allah was talking about masail of iman, worshiping of idols, how to be a believer, how not to associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is normally a thing that Quran discusses in Mecca surah. And Surah Al-An'am was revealed in Mecca. And the last part of the story was the philosophy, the philosophical argument about how to establish the existence of God, the nature of God, and that is normally a subject that is being discussed in Medina Surah. and it's discussed in Surah Ali in Surah Al-Baqarah, which was revealed in Medina prior to Mecca. So the end of the Surah is in Surah Al-Baqarah, and the beginning, the end of the story was in Surah Al-Baqarah, and the beginning of the story was in Surah Al-An'am. So now the beginning of the story is verse 74 in Surah Al-An'am, which goes like this. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ آذَا أَتَتَّخِذُ أَصْنَامًا آلِهَةً إِنِّي أَرَاكَ وَقَوْمَكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Recall the time when Abraham said to his father, Adam, do you worship idols of God? Surely I see you and your people in clear error. That's a clear mistake. How can you worship idols rather than God? You can't do that. That's a big mistake. There are a number of things in this particular verse. It's called Ibrahim, Ibrahim li abihi Adam. Remember when Ibrahim said unto his father, Adam. Adam is referred to as the father of Ibrahim. But there's a huge argument between scholars, among scholars, as to whether Adam is actually the biological father of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Why should they even be talking about that? What's the implication? The implication is that there are a number of things that happen in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam that will become inconsistent if Adam is the biological father of Ibrahim alayhi salam. But at the same time, Allah called him Abi Adam. Then what do we do with that? What scholars did with that is that they have to go beyond tafsir into ta'wil. And that brings us to what is the difference between tafsir and ta'wil. Tafsir is when you first of all translate the meaning of the verse and explain what it clearly means. But ta'wil is something that scholars do when they realize that what this verse clearly means might not actually be the Sharia meaning of that verse. Clearly, it means this. But Sharia wise, that is not what Allah meant. Allah meant something else. So that is when they need to do ta'wil so that they will get at the actual meaning that Allah meant for us. Like for example, I have given this example, I think here, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Are they jealous about what Allah has given to people of His blessings? Clearly this is what is verse means. Are they jealous of people because of the blessings that Allah has given unto them? That is what it means. But if you look at the context of the verse, you realize the word "annas" cannot mean that and fit into the context. So based on the ta'wil of this verse, the scholar said what Allah meant by "annas" here is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is the one meant by "annas." And when you look at "annas" in Surah An-Nas, you realize that Allah is talking about the bad people. Bad people who act up levels, devilish human beings. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. Based on the ta'wil, it means bad people. So that is what it means to be ta'wil. So based on the ta'wil of this verse, Adam is actually the foster father to Ibrahim alayhi salam, who could mean an uncle or someone else, but not a biological father. Why is that? Is because we will see as we progress in the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he got into an intense argument with his father, Adam. As a result of which, Adam, as we would see in Surah Maryam when we come to study, Adam was tired of him and said unto him to Ibrahim alayhi salam, أَرَاغِبٌ أَنْتَ أَلَهِلَتِي يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهِ لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ وَهَجُرْنِي مَلِيًّا. O Ibrahim, so now you detest our God, the idols that we worship, if you trust them. If you don't stop doing this, I'm going to gather people so that we form you. We're still in Malaysia. And right now, I need you to give me a break. Just go away. And then Ibrahim, before leaving, he said, "Sa'astaghfiru laka Rabbi innahu kana bi khatiya." My father, you are clearly in an error, and I'm going to seek for Allah's forgiveness on your behalf. I'm going to seek for Allah to forgive you. And after Ibrahim left, Allah told him that Ibrahim, this is chance for forgiveness to non-believers who are enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, "Atuul fi laika wa ma sha'a istighfar Ibrahim li 'abdihi illa 'an mu'idatin wa 'ala hadiya. Fa lamma tabayyana lahu annahu adu lillahi tabarra'a min inna Ibrahim la halimun awwah." That Ibrahim seek for forgiveness to his father because at the time he didn't know that he was an enemy of Allah. And after he knew that he was an enemy of Allah, he stopped seeking for forgiveness because there is no way prohibited for a mu'min to seek for forgiveness to non-believers. You can make prayer for Allah to guide them, but you cannot make prayer for Allah to forgive them. If you have any relatives that are non-believers, especially those who are worshiping idols, you can seek for Allah's rescue, that Allah should guide them, but you cannot ask Allah to forgive them. Ibrahim knows it clearly, right? We are on common terms on this, right? So we know that Ibrahim would never ask Allah to forgive his father. Do we all agree on that? Do we all agree on that? Okay. Then we go to Surah Ibrahim. And then we will see Ibrahim alayhi salam towards the end of his life saying, "Rabbana innani askantu min dhurriyyati biwadin ghayri dhi zar'in 'inda baytika al-muharram. رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ فَاسْأَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَارْزُقْهُم مِّنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ تَعْلَمُ مَا نُخْفِي وَمَا نُعْلِنُ وَمَا يَخْفَى عَلَى اللَّهِ مِن شَيْءٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي وَهَبَ لِي عَلَى الْكِبَرِ إِسْمَاعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ إِنَّ رَبِّي لَسَمِيعُ الدُّعَاءِ رَبِّ اجْعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَاءِ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ." After all the prayers, the last prayer he did was, "Oh Allah, forgive my sins and forgive the sins of my parents." And when did Ibrahim do this dua? When he was an old man. He did this dua after the second visit to his son, based on the context. The second visit to his son after the field Shaba. That was when he did the dua. Because he said in the context of the verses, "Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي وَهَبَنِي عَلَى الْكِبَرِ إِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ." I thank God that has given me my two sons, Ismail and Ishaq, after I became an old man. And when did Allah stop him from seeking for forgiveness to his father? When he was a young man. Can he not come back and do it when he becomes an old man? No, Ibrahim will not do it. Then we have to assume based on Ta'wil that here Ibrahim alayhi salam is seeking for forgiveness for his actual biological parents, not Adam. Because Adam, it appears to him that he was an enemy of Allah and there's no way he would seek for forgiveness from Allah. So that is the first point to this verse. Iskala Ibrahim wa Abihi Adam. So we have to have in the back of our mind that Adam is the first father who raised Ibrahim alayhi salam, not his actual biological father, who was a Muslim. "Atattakhidhu asnaman aliha." "Oh my father, why would you worship idols of God?" "Inni araka wa qawmaka fi dhalalin mubin." I see clearly that you and your people are in clear error. And the second part, by the way, this is one of the few places, I think in the Holy Quran, only probably three places, you will find many verses, all at the same time, four places. Many verses, all at the same time, talking about Ibrahim alayhi salam. But the other verses one verse in one surah, two verses in one surah, and some surah that have two verses, like Surah Yusuf, for example, have two verses, but in far different places. The very beginning of the surah, you have one verse. At the very end of the verse of the surah, you have another verse. That's the way you would find it. But in Surah Al-Baqarah, in Surah Ali Imran, in Surah Al-An'am, and in Surah Maryam, no, not Surah Ali Imran, Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-An'am, Surah Maryam, and Surah Ibrahim. This four surah, you will find from 5 to 10 verses in you talking about Ibrahim alayhi salam. So this is one of the places. From this verse 74 up to verse 83, all talking about Ibrahim alayhi salam, about 10 verses. So the next verse is 75, وَكَذَلِكَ نُورِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلِيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُقِيمِينَ. After Ibrahim said this to his father, then we show him the malakut of samawat. Just as you are a noble nature, we have been showing Ibrahim the sole kingdom of the heaven and the earth to grant him an insight into the divine laws of nature. He has seen the divine laws of nature, how the nature works, that he might be of those who are firmly convinced. He has put him in the movie. He was looking at the space to see what is out there. And then he has seen all the things that Allah will mention to us. The first one is فَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلُ فَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلُ وَرَعَى كَوْكَبًا قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي فَلَمَّا أَفَلَ قَالَ لَا أُحِبُّ الْأَفِلِينَ. Then, after being convinced of our unity, the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once on the occasion of a debate on the topic, with his people, but now he is 100% convinced, then he starts looking at the sky, when the night darkens over him, he saw planets, unshowed, the planets. He says, on seeing it, to the idol worshippers, this my Lord, Hadha Rabbi, in form of a question. Hadha Rabbi, as you are fast, but when he said, he said, I don't love the telling one. How can I tell someone as my Lord and let him disappear? If my Lord can disappear, then who can see out me when my Lord is absent? So this cannot be my Lord. فَلَمَّا رَأَى الْقَمَرَ بَازِغًا قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي. And when he saw the moon rising with spreading light, he said to the people, it is my Lord, as you are God, asking them question. But when he said, had my Lord not guided me right, I would have invariably been of these people who have gone astray. That I would have assumed that the moon is my Lord. But because Allah has guided me, then I realize that it is not my Lord as your side. Then, number 3, فَلَمَّا رَأَى الشَّمْسَ بَازِغَةً قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي هَذَا أَكْبَرُ فَلَمَّا أَفَلَتْ قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. And when he saw the sun rises with spreading light, he said to them, it is my Lord as you are saddest. As this is the vision, so would you think that this is my Lord? My people, I'm surely sick and tired of this, and I pay associating partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Looking at this four verses from the very first one that said, وَكَذَلِكَ نُورِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وليكون من المؤمنين. فلما جن عليه الليل راى كوكبا قال هذا ربي. فلما أفل قال لا أحب الآفلين. فلما رأى القمر باجرا قال هذا ربي. فلما أفل قال لئن لم يهدني ربي لأكونن من القوم الضالين. فلما رأى الشمس باجرة قال هذا ربي هذا أكبر. فلما أفلت قال يا قوم إني بريء مما تشركون. Looking at this verse, here comes a number of questions. The questions that would come are, what Ibrahim was actually doing? Was he arguing with the people when he saw this to prove to them that these things cannot be God? And if these things cannot be God, therefore, your purpose cannot be God. Or was Ibrahim himself confused, not knowing which actually is his God? So both interpretations were given by different scholars. The first set of scholars said that look, in the beginning, Ibrahim by his Torah knows that the idol cannot be God. And when Allah said, وَكَذَلِكَ نُورِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلِيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that was the beginning of the process of guiding Ibrahim عليه السلام towards knowing Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him through the malakut of samawat, guided him through the kingdom of the heavens as the first step so that he get guided towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he was asking the question, he wasn't asking the people around him, he was actually asking himself. When he saw the planet, the first thing that he saw, like a star and a sky, he actually thought, if I would just worship the idols, because the idols are inanimate, useless things, why can't I go for it? This is at least better than those. This is at least heavenly. Why can't I go for it? And then, after it disappeared in the morning, he thought to himself that, but wait a minute, why should I worship something that disappears? Then we are going to keep my losses again. So he was still at the point of eating for fanatics that are better than the idol that is people were watching. But he wasn't quite satisfied with the star, planet that he saw in the sky. So he waited the second night and saw the moon. So after seeing the moon, the same thought that came to him yesterday came back to him, that I really definitely need something to worship. And even if I discarded the star as a disappearing god, why don't I go for the moon? At least the moon is bigger, it's lighter, the moon has bigger size, right? And then it disappears again. And when it disappears, that is when you realize that, no, I need the guidance of someone who is much bigger than me. فلما أفل قال لئن لم يهدني ربي لأكونن من القوم الضالين. Whoever my Lord is, I need your guidance. Whoever you are, oh my Lord, wherever you are, I need your guidance. Because if you didn't guide me, I would be like this people watching an idol. Just look at me, looking at the star and thinking that it's my Lord, and now looking at the moon and thinking it's my Lord, and now both of them disappear. So, oh Lord, I need your guidance. And then, immediately after that, because come to think of it, both star and moon appear in the night, but the sun appear in the daytime. So the first one had to wait for the second night. But after this dua, he didn't have to wait anymore. The sun was already now on the sky, so he saw it and said, okay, this is definitely my Lord. It's my Lord answering my prayer. And I shall say by Jiratim, Kala Haza Rabbi, this is my Lord answering my prayer. Falam Ha'afalat, Kala Ya Qawmi Indi Bariyo Bin Matishma. And when he disappeared, and he said, oh my people, now he decided that his son is not his Lord, and he knows his Lord. And he said, oh my people, from now on, I preach anything that you do. And I quit appreciating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first interpretation given to the verse. And the second interpretation given to the verse based on the Dawood is that Ibrahim actually was very sure about who his Lord was from the very beginning. From the very beginning, when he started arguing with his father, Allah already mentioned, Allah has already mentioned, وَتِلْكَ حُجَّتُنَا آتَيْنَاهَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ الْبَاطِلِ. We have given Ibrahim hujjah. We have given Ibrahim philosophy with which to argue with his people. So this is part of the philosophy that Allah has given. So he wasn't the one in doubt. He was just trying to prove to his people that look, there are things that are more worthy of worship from the perspective of your God. But at the same time, this thing is from the perspective of my God, I am not worthy. Look at the star in the sky, so beautiful, well above everyone. We could easily just fall for it and say that this is our Lord. But no, it disappears from time to time. Therefore, it is more worthy of worship. If it disappears, what do we? Where do we go for prayer? I don't want them. So look at it, it disappears. The same thing happens to your Lord, the idol, if someone decides just to break them. They'll disappear. Right? And the same thing going on in his mind, trying to argue with his people when he saw the moon, trying to show them that, look, this moon is bigger, better, brighter than the star. But at the same time, we can't worship it. Why? Because it disappears as well. It has the same characteristics with the star. They both disappear. And once they disappear, we can't worship anything that disappears. What you need to do and I need to do is what I'm doing right now. To pray to our Lord to get His guidance. This is what we need to do. Right? And then he saw the sun, and he said, look, there's something that is even bigger, that you see all day, but at the same time, this is not worthy of worship. I dissociate myself from polytheism. You should as well. Because either worshiping idols or worshiping this heavenly body, it's all polytheism. I shouldn't do it, you shouldn't do it either. We should all stop this. What are we supposed to do? That is what comes in the next verse, verse 79. إِنِّي وَجِئْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Surely I have turned myself with devotion and in a most upright manner to him who originated the heavens and the earth. I have never been of the polytheist. All these things I'm doing just to argue with you. I am not among the polytheists. What I have done is to try to show you how these things are not worthy of worship. So when we look at these verses, we look at the story of Ibrahim that we studied in the past 2 days, we see that the argument started with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the people right in front of him who were arguing about his prophet. The Jewish people and the Christians trying to argue with him, and then him trying to show them that look, don't believe anything he said. Believe Ibrahim alayhi salam. If you believe Ibrahim, which I know you would say you do, then let's try to adjudicate what we do with what Ibrahim alayhi salam said. Let's look at my beliefs and my actions. Let's try to fit them with the actions and beliefs of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Let's apply the same with your belief system and your actions and see that he's closer to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And after doing that, Allah giving all the arguments that he's supposed to give to those people. And now Allah is telling him about, look, Ibrahim alayhi salam says the same thing. And look at the way he argued it out. In fact, Ibrahim alayhi salam says the same thing with what people did to your people. It can be only said in ongoing verse Mecca, but in Medina, he was dealing with Christians and Jews. But Ibrahim alayhi salam, throughout his life, he was dealing with people who are polytheists, associated with partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. look at the way the Mujib Ibrahim alayhi salam argued with it. And at the end, he told us to be with Yahweh, watching the living of our Samawati, Al Arba Hanidan, Woman Adam in the Shirti. I am not one of those. I am not one of those who are to Shaitan Masjid Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is yet another version of Ta'wil given to this verse. The Ta'wil number 3, which is also a correct thing, at least for the sense of knowing, we should also go for a study. This is called a Tafsir al-Ishari. What is a Tafsir al-Ishari? A Tafsir al-Ishari is a kind of mystical perspective of the Tafsir of Al-Quran. It's different from what is known as a Tafsir al-Batin, drawn by Shi'i, who claim that the Quran is Batin wa laysa lahu zahir. The Quran has a mystical meaning, only the mystical meaning. And all the upper meaning and know what is meant by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All Islamic scholars have seen that this tafsir is valid, this tafsir is not employed, but acceptable in Islam. But as a purely shari is the tafsir, the first of all is that this the verses based on the upper meaning, as this is what is meant by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there are many other layers of the meaning to that verse that you get to understand based on your iman. The deeper is your iman, the more layers of information and knowledge you get from Quran. That is what the Fir'i Shari is all about. What is the Fir'i Shari is about in this verse is that, look, when Ibrahim dislocated himself, first of all, from all his people, and associated himself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah started showing him his sign everywhere. Everything he sees, he will see it as a sign of Allah leading him towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather than seeing things as just material objects, now he sees them as a sign that is supposed to lead him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same thing that is mentioned by Abu al-Ajahiyya, one of the Abbasid Muslim poets known as the poet of Zuhud. He used to say, Kawa ajaban kayfa yuhsan ilahu, am kayfa yashhadu bilahi, wa fi kulli shay'in lahu ayatun tadullu ala annahu wahid. It is really surprising, how can people deny the existence of God at all? When everything around you indicates that Allah exists, because everything around you is an indication, is an ayah, is a sign of the existence of someone who created something. That is how human beings are supposed to relate to the world. Everything that is reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when talking about good people, he said, خِيَارُ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ مَسِيدَهُ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ. The best of Amman, Allah's servants are those ones they are seeing to remind us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They just see them to remember Allah because of how close they are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the Sahaba once said to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh Prophet, I'm afraid that you are being destroyed. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why? Why do you think that? He said, I feel around you very different people from me as you when I'm back home. Once I'm back home, I'm beginning to feel very differently from the way I feel when I'm around. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is not a problem. If you keep feeling the same way you feel around me when you're back home, لَسَفَحَكُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, you will be shaking hands with the angel. You need to be human beings, so you shouldn't be feeling at home within your family the way you feel around me. Because of my spirituality, very soon when you're around me, you feel it. When you are far away from me, you will not feel it. It's normal. When you are around some people, you feel the level of the iman increasing. You remember Allah. Because those people become some signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything around you should be a sign in decreasing the existence of Allah. Everything around you should be a sign of leading you towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what happened to Ibrahim alayhi salam.
So when he saw the bright star, he was thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي مِنِي سِكِلْ بِشَيْءٍ because of my love. He is in the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at this dream. The three things that he saw, what fascinated him about all of them is one thing. They are bright. فلما جن عليه الليل وراء كوكبا قال عمر ربي فلما أبلى قال أهبلتي فلما رأى القمر باجرا قال عمر ربي فلما رأى الشمس باجرا she is attracted to them by the brightness of their light. The same thing as what we see in Surah An-Nur. We are like Allah, نور السماوات والأرض. مثل نور كمشكات فيها مصباح. المصباح في الرجال. الرجال جعلناها كوكب الأرسي. يوقد الشجرة المباركة الموسومة. لا شركة ولا رمينة. تكاد يكون أوفي ولو لم تمتص نار نور على نور. يهدي الله للمؤمن من يشاء ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس والله بكل شيء عليم. That Allah is the light of the heavens and He is the light of the earth. And He has given many examples of how His light is reflected. So anything you see lightning can be treated to be the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what has attracted Ibrahim alayhi salam. So when he saw the light of thinking of Allah, when he saw the light of the star, when he saw the light of the moon, when he saw the light of the sun which is stronger, he thought, oh my Lord, this is my Lord, why don't I do this? And then later on he said, وَجَهُ مُسْلِمْ لَيْهِ مَضَرْ سَمَوَاتِ رَبِّ حَدِيثًا I have surely turned myself towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one that created the heavens and he is the one that created the earth. حَنِيثًا أَنَمْرَ وَيْهُ فَرْ وَمَا أَنَمْرَ مُشْرِكِينَ I distinguish myself from polytheists. Another thing to pay attention to in this last verse in your generation is the word cover. From the beginning of this surah, there are a number of verses that are talking about Allah had a capacity of someone who created the world. But three different words are used to describe that. There's a place here Allah said, خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ And here Allah said, فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ As we progress in the surah, we will see a place where Allah says, بَدِيعُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ They three mean creating the world, but each one of them has an additional meaning by the other one. Like this thing in Al-Balagha, at the richest of Arabic language called التَّرَابِح. التَّرَابِح is using different words that have the same meaning to express the same thing. Which happens a lot in the Arabic language. In the Arabic quality, it happens a lot. At-Tarabi. In the Hadith, At-Tarabi. All Arabic languages are saying more At-Tarabi. The same word, meaning the same, different word, meaning almost the same thing. Like, for example, the word jealous, it means sit down. Qa'ar, sit down. And a number of other words that mean the same thing. The word that the names of a lion, for example, Al-Ashad, Al-Hizr, Arab language will say that an Ashad, for example, has more than 70 names in Arabic language. They will not sound. More than 70 names for only lion. Why? That is how rich the language is. If you have about 2,000 words in English language, you can be able to have a functional conversation. In Arabic, you need way more than that. A lot more than that. 2,000 words is far from being enough for you. Because of the Arabic in the language. Right? The question here is, do we have the Arabic in Al-Quran? Is there the Arabic in Al-Quran? When Allah is in Kharaq of Samawati wa Barak, when Allah says, خطر السماوات والأرض, when Allah says, بديع السماوات والأرض, all these three verses are talking about creation of heaven and earth. Is Allah talking about the same thing? Is it a rabbit? devote is the difference.
See, yes, we have rubbish in Al-Quran because we see many, many things, many, many meanings being expressed in different ways by Allah in Al-Quran. But in the more recent time, rubbish in Arabic language, especially the scholars of Rubbish and Balagha, some of the most prominent among them is surprisingly a lady in Al-Aqsa University, known as Bint Shaw. She did a very beautiful book about the Tarabas of Quran and Kareem, and she has been able to prove that there is no single Tarabas in Quran and Kareem. No single Tarabas in Quran and Kareem. And what she meant by that is that every field of meaning that is expressed in Al-Quran in two different places, there has to be an additional thing. All those words that you see in Al-Quran expressing the same thing, each one of them has a characteristic that the other one doesn't have. Therefore, Allah is not repeating himself. Even though he said, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ كُلُّ مُتَشَابِهَاتٍ وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٍ, that some of the Quranic verses look very much alike, but that doesn't mean at all modification. They are modification. Right? Like we have seen in some of our previous studies, in this Quranic study, in Surah Al-Baqarah, we see where Allah says, قُلْ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْنَا وَمَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَالْأَسْبَاطِ وَمَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى وَعِيسَى وَمَا أُوتِيَ النَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِنْهُمْ وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. And we come to our Quran, we see another verse very similar, but at the same time very similar. قُلْ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنْزِلَ عَلَيْنَا وَمَا أُنْزِلَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَالْأَسْبَاطِ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى وَأُوتِيَ مُوسَى وَعِيسَى وَالنَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. Over there, وَمَا أُوتِيَ النَّبِيُّونَ here, وَالنَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. Over there, أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْنَا here, أُنْزِلَ عَلَيْنَا. You see, so anywhere you see verses very similar to Quran, they are actually different and they are meant to express different things. So now let's look at خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ that we see here as خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ. When Allah says خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ, He's just talking about the fact that the heavens and the earth are created by none other than Him. He created them. That's the thing. That's the meaning that we should get from Allah. But what about when Allah says فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ, what is Allah doing here? He has created them, but He is not actually copying that from someone else. That is the additional meaning, because as it was to actually track something that wasn't there before. خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, Allah created, but He left you with an impression of a possibility of copying from somewhere else. But when He said فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, He's telling you that what you are seeing is the actual blueprint. There's no blueprint elsewhere. This is the book He created, and He started the design from His scratch. It's not like someone has done it, then He got a brilliance from somewhere, and then He has copied it from somewhere. Right? And then we go to Badi'u Samawati wal Ard. What's the meaning of Badi'u Samawati wal Ard? What it means is, even though He created, and this is the blueprint He didn't copy from anyone else, this is the best possible creation you can find anywhere. If you say there will be another God, hypothetically, more powerful than this God, there is no possible way that anything better than this can be created. That is the meaning of the idea of Islam, that we are created and actually made it actually best. There's no any possibility of making anything better than this. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that I think is what Imam al-Ghazali expressed, the idea of Imam al-Ghazali that wrote about a lot of arguments about that idea and among scholars, to the extent that someone saying questioning the Iman of Imam al-Ghazali, he would say that he wrote it actually in one of his writings.
ليس بالإمكان أبدع مما كان. That what you see right here is the extreme possibility. The extreme possibility. That's not just possible. That's not any other possible scenario other than what you see right now. Some scholars that didn't have this deep understanding that Imam al-Ghazali have think that, wait a minute, are you saying that I like a notebook better than what you've done already? Are you accusing Allah that Allah allows out of the religion? No, that is not what Imam al-Ghazali said. So what Imam al-Ghazali is saying is that Allah doesn't stop short at anything other than sex. What you have to do is that there's no any other possibility apart from that. Laysa fil imkan abda'u min ma shi'a. And then we go to the next verse, also in Surah 2 and Surah Al-An'am, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَحَجَّهُ قَوْمُ قَالَ أَتُحَاجُّونِي بِاللَّهِ رَبَّ الْهَدَانِ وَلَا أَخَوْهُمَا تُشْرِكُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ رَبِّي شَيْئًا وَسِعَ رَبِّي كُلَّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا أَفَلَا تَتَذَكَّرُونَ. نَعَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ عَاجِزٌ And he showed them that look, you can't worship idols, they are useless. There are things that are far better than idols, including the stars, the moon, the sun. We still cannot worship those, even though they are heavenly and they are better than the idols. But we still cannot worship. He argues, and Allah mentions to us that, وَكَذَلِكَ أَتَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ تِلْكَ حُجَّتِنَا أَتَيْنَاهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ that we have given Ibrahim our hujjah on how to argue with them. But he has said that he cried. No, he was not surprised. They would argue back. So his people started arguing with him. His people started arguing with him. And there are layers of his argument that his people have done with him. At least there are three layers that we know from reading Quran. The first layer is when he was a kid. His father, and this interpretation was given by Wahab ibn Munabbah in the book, a popular book, the guy who was the whole, your life is the whole, which is a popular book that is written in Islam from the perspective of Israelite knowledge, and I think we talked about how to deal with that last week. So the interpretation is there. He said, when Ibrahim was a young man, his father, Azar, would give him small idols to go and kill him in that way. So he would go about the matter saying, oh people, who will buy something that is useless? Who is going to buy something that is going to harm your brother than that? And the people who knew, tell me your man come here, what are you saying? A man who is going to buy useless things. That's what I'm saying. I'm crazy, what are you talking about? See, yes, this is what I'm saying. It's not going to have any benefit. It's not going to benefit you when you pray. It's not going to listen to you because it can't even hear. It can't even help itself. So the people that are arguing, you are a young man who clearly doesn't even know what he's talking about. These are God. Are you not afraid of playing this? Are you not afraid? You should be afraid. You should be scared. Right? And you come back not selling any of the time. His people arguing with him, trying to scare him away from being what he was saying. Right. And then, when Ibrahim became a young adult, he became a bit more bold. And his people were going out to the outset for one of their celebrations. He became very good. He actually went to the place of worship with an axe and break all the idols in there and put the axe on the shoulder of the biggest one and just break the biggest. Right? And when they came back and they saw all their gods, just their biggest, gods broke, you can know that they are not gods. Right? What's going on? What's happening? Who is this? And then those people that are making Ibrahim alayhi salam in the marketplace, saying those things about their gods, إذا سمعنا مثل نذكره يقال له إبراهيم. قال بس به على أعين الناس لعلهم يشهدون. Okay, we actually remember there's one young adult, one young man, who used to say some stupid things about them. Probably he's the one who did this. And then they came and would say, okay, go and invite. They went and invited Ibrahim alayhi salam and he came. فَأَنْتَ فَأَلْتَ هَذَا بِعَلِيَدِنَا وَإِبْرَاهِيمِ. Are you the one who did this? All of us. We'll get to this last. So that I run a short of written in the Bible, so we get to them probably inshallah next week. No, I didn't do that. But ask the biggest one, how to ask, probably before them. What are you talking about? How can he embrace them? He doesn't move his enemies. So, but I am not to be there, you are. How can you want something that you know that is an enemy? How can you want something that you know cannot benefit itself, cannot protect itself? وحاجه القوم ذلك الله ان قومه وحاجه القوم ذلك مستوى العدل. And another layer of the argument is with his father. When his father approached him in Surah to Maryam, when his father said unto him, أراغب أنت عن آلهة يا إبراهيم فإن لم تنتهي لأرجمنك وأجرني من الله. The third layer of argument comes with a threat. First from his father. And his father coincidentally happens to be one of the closest people to Nimrud, the king of Babylon at that time. So he was, while he was afraid that his son is going out of the way, his son is becoming an apostate in his belief. At the same time, he was afraid of his political position. Then this man is going to cause him a lot of trouble. It's going to cause him his position in the king's court. It's going to cause him his social status. It's going to cause him his social network. It's going to cause him his social capital. Because in most cases, this is what stops people from accepting the truth even when they enter the night. They think about something, look, my whole life, I have a relationship with this people, I have a community, I have a relationship. I have enough social capital to keep getting across the crowd until the end of my life. I can't imagine starting from the beginning. Once I leave this belief that I know, into another one, then I have to start moving away. I have to start knowing people of Christ. I have to start establishing my work. I have to start establishing my social capital, which will be very difficult for me to do. And that was what his father was afraid of. So, his argument came with a unique feature. That's why, لَإِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَيْهِ لَهَرْبُ مَنْمَنْهِ. I'm going to get you stoned. So he better stop. He can't do this. And Ibrahim alayhi salam wasn't willing to stop. Went ahead, kept doing what he was doing. وَحَجَّهُ قَوْمٌ. That is the meaning of وَحَجَّهُ قَوْمٌ. And then he said, هَلَا تُحَجُّونِ بِاللَّهِ وَقَدْهَدَانِ. It's surprising to me that you people are arguing with someone who is guided by Allah. I'm guided by Allah. This is the deep conviction that a mu'min has when he sees someone that you are 100% sure that his foundations are shaking and he wants to argue with you. The first thing that comes to you naturally is not an attempt to destroy them. It's a sense of suhriya. It's funny and annoying at the same time. That's what Ibrahim felt. It's funny that you guys want to argue with me. I'm 100% sure that I'm guided by Allah. I'm 100% sure that you guys are misguided. I'm 100% sure that you don't know that you're misguided. What you need to do is to come to me and rely on me, not to come to me and argue. This is annoying as funny as it is. قَالَ أَتُحَاجِينِ بِاللَّهِ وَقَدْ هَدَانِ. And the most annoying part of it is, you are even trying to scare me of the things that I know are useful. وَلَا أَخَاهُمَا تَشْرِكُونَ بِهِ إِلَّا يَشَعَرُ. You want me to be afraid of the idols? When I know that we can't do anything, only Allah that can do something. وَشِعَ رَبِّي كُلَّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمٍ. And the one who guides me is full of knowledge, he knows everything. After that, it is like, are you guys in your right senses? Are you out of your mind? Can't you think of these things? When your argument is too obvious to be mistaken, it's too obvious to be mistaken. Right? So that is how Ibrahim was asking to them, the response to their argument was annoyed, and their catch-up one actually arguing with them, because he knows that they have no idea what they are talking about. And at the same time, he was full of interest, so attractive towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get them guided as he was guided. And then he asked them this question, وَكَيْفَ أَخَافُ مَا أَشْرَكْتُمْ وَلَا تَخَافُونَ أَنَّكُمْ أَشْرَكْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ عَلَيْكُمْ سُلْطَانًا. Just think about it. How do you want me to be afraid of these idols that are useless? You are just associating partners. You are associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every holy day. وَلَا تَخَافُونَ أَنَّكُمْ أَشْرَكْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ. And you are not afraid of the fact that you are associating partners with Allah. Who is supposed to be afraid? Me or you? And this is just too obvious to say. It's amazing and annoying at the same time that you guys didn't want to argue about this. وَكَيْفَ أَخَافُ مَا أَشْرَكْتُمْ وَلَا تَخَافُونَ أَنَّكُمْ أَشْرَكْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ. You are not afraid of the fact that you are associating partners with Allah. مَا لَمْ يَنَزِلْ بِهِ عَلَيْكُمْ سُلْطَانٌ. And Allah did not reveal any evidence unto you about this. You have no evidence. Whatever you are giving to Allah is something that you make it out in your mind. فَأَيِّذْ فَرِيْقَيْنِ أَحَقُّ مِنْ أَمْنِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. If you are truly knowledgeable people as you claim, who from among me and you? Because it's supposed to have some sense of safety. Point 26, near you. Right? Quran is very, it's definitely the mu'jiza, very surprising in democratic in the way it happens. Even though this is Allah that created us, but He is still giving us a space to even argue with us through His prophet. Now come and see, look at this reasoning. Look at one flower, Quran itself, that is really, if you study that verse and try to understand what it means, you will see how, for the lack of a better word, prohibitively democratic Quran is. Quran is telling Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell the kuffar of Mecca, وَإِنَّا أَوْ إِيَّاكُمْ لَعَلَى هُدًى أَوْ عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. This is really more amazing than I can really express. Allah said, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them that one of us is guided and one of us is misled. Not that I am guided and you are misled. I am guided and you are misguided. But think about it. Look at all the evidences I'm giving you. Based on these evidences, definitely I'm guided and you're not. That is how we want to end all our arguments. We want to end all our arguments by telling our opponents that, look, I'm right, you're wrong. Look at the evidence. They are just too obvious for you to keep arguing. I'm right, you're wrong. That is what the way Allah wanted to end the arguments. No. After presenting all the arguments, and it's very obvious that someone is misguided here, someone is guided here. Say it the way it is. وَإِنَّا أَوْيَّا مَعِذَا مِنْ وَيُّهُ لَعَلَى هُدَى مِسْجَيْدًا أَوْ عَلَى فِرَاهُ مُسْتَقِيمًا أَوْ مِسْجَيْدًا. I don't know if you really see what I see in this verse. Either me or you is guided. They are equally, they have equal probability of being the ones who are guided. And this is Prophet Muhammad of Allah, and Abu Jahl, this is not a team. But Allah is putting it in a way that both of them have the same level of probability of being the ones who are guided. And on the same token, giving them the same level of probability of being misguided. وَإِنَّا أَوْ إِلَّا أُلْ عَلَى هُمْ. I love you, you are guided. and either me or you are dying. No, even either me, either I am dying and you will die, and so the other way around. No. He put all of them on the same line to give them equal chance. If you still want to argue about the whole thing, you have to keep arguing and let him hear the question. I know that in some of them, you can't say you don't have any point. ولا تخافوا وكيف أخاف ما أشركتم ولا تخافون أنكم أشركتم بالله ما لم ينزل به عليكم سلطانا وأي الذين أحق بالأمن تعلمون. هذا هو الموضوع. He's supposed to feel the sense of safety, meaning for you. الذين آمنوا ولم يلبسوا إيمانهم بظلم أولئك لهم الأمن وهم مهتدون. Allah is giving the final conclusion of this argument. He said, those who believe and how long to hit their faith would appreciate the partners with Allah, then you have the human of the person. To whom they want to reach, they are the ones who are supposed to have the consultation. It is this alone who are writing guidance. Those who we have given our guidance, they are the ones who are supposed to have peace, and they are the ones who are guided, not any other set of people. Maybe we stop here and answer some questions. And then continue if it's already 10 minutes for attention. So we have to answer some questions and pray, and inshallah continue from where we stop tomorrow. Inshallah. There is one question from last week. Right? You asked a question last week, you asked two questions last week. I answered one, and we get one inshallah we're going to answer today. Would you like to repeat that question, please? that becomes a command for him that he can do this. And then just like in the case of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was given an instruction not to pray to his father anymore, and he stopped him, never done it for the end of his life. So he has to do that. From the linguistic perspective, there are some scholars who look at it from the linguistic perspective and say, but the probability that in the life of Prophet, all the time, because of the relationship between them and Allah, all the time is walking with each other. Any time, because they are sex, right? And using sawfa might not necessarily mean attractive. It might mean immediately, because the word, even though popularly used to mean something, it is sometimes used to mean immediately. Like in the Surah Al-Duha, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا سَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ وَفَرْضَ Allah will give you until you ask me. It's not the case there. It's not that Allah will wait for a time and then he'll give you. He would give you. He has already started giving. Because when the Prophet was revealed, guess what? Muhammad was already the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was already an apostle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was already Khatam al-Anbiya, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was already seen as that and that and that. He was already believed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So when Allah says, what is over your take off with the Khatam, it doesn't mean exorcism, doesn't mean delaying, doesn't mean defying the gift that Allah wants to possess. It means an immediacy. And Allah just is getting it for it and he just gives it after. Words. Any other question? If you talk about things that you consider bad and the life of a private individual, it is considered a breach.